The Huddle, powered by Reuben James, Main Street in Burlington. Find them online at rjsburlington.com. Now, here's The Huddle, live on 101.3 ESPN, 101.3 ESPN.com, and streaming worldwide on the 101.3 ESPN app.
Good afternoon. You are in the huddle right here at 101.3 ESPN. Not all unaccounted for. Brady's here. Artie's here. Rich on vacation. How you doing, big boy?
I'm doing good. That was a championship style intro.
Oh, was there. Because it's Friday, man. It's Friday.
Oh, it's America East Championship weekend.
I like this time of year. I really do. I love watching all the basketball games, and I like when it starts at noon, too. You know, when I was living on the West Coast, it starts at 9 a.m. in the morning. I love that.
What do you like better, championship week where there's more games and more conferences, or do you like just the first two days of the tournament itself?
You're not talking Tuesday, Wednesday.
Just Thursday, Friday.
Thursday, Friday. I mean, I enjoy Tuesday, to me, is like showing up at a party really, really early, but they put the hors d'oeuvres out early, so you get to pick at the hors d'oeuvres. You don't want to eat too much, but you don't want to be a pig, but you eat the hors d'oeuvres. That's like what, like, Tuesday, is it Tuesday, Wednesday, or is it just Tuesday?
Just Tuesday. Oh, no, it's Tuesday and Wednesday. Tuesday, Wednesday.
So that's like getting to the party early, but you get the hors d'oeuvres to yourself. That's what that is.
I'm so happy that if UVM gets in the tournament, I'm so happy that they are good, because they'll avoid the play-in games, and I hate the playing games with a passion.
I don't consider, you know, Vegas got clobbered on that, by the way. I want you to know that. Many, many years ago when they first started this, I just want to tell you.
Well, George, VCU went from play-in game to the Final Four.
No, they screwed up, because every year before the play-in game, we had 64 teams.
Yes.
And the proposition on the board, will a 16 seed win? And the answer was always no. Well, they never changed it, and a 16 seed obviously is going to win because it was two 16 seeds, and they had to change it to, will a 16 beat a number one? So, but before they could change it, a couple of the sharp guys hammered them to death. So I don't know if they end up taking the bet or not. That's what I love about that.
I hate the play-in game because Vermont's been in a play-in game. They beat Lamar as a play-in game in, 2011, 2012. But I remember when I was in Albany, I was 15 years old. The year that Maryland won the title with Lenny Baxter and Juan Dixon, that was their
Juan
team.
Juan Dixon and it wasn't
Steve
Len
Blake
Bias,
was on that team. Yeah. Lenny Baxter.
Yeah.
So that was, 2003, 2002, I think, right before Syracuse won it. Siena College, right, and UVM plays them right in Albany. They won the MAC Conference Championship, and here they were. I was, so pumped they were in the tournament, and it's like they weren't really in the tournament. They were just off the side of the bracket that no one even knew who they were. Now, they ended up winning the play-in game and getting to, they only lost by 15 to Maryland, but I hated it. You Albany's had to play in the play-in game before, as has Vermont. The play-in game is horrible to me.
I don't like it, but the fact that they don't have it all 16s, they have, the last – is it the four or the last? I don't even know. It's the last four teams in, so they could be number nine seeds or eight seeds.
No, they're all 12. It's all for the right to be the 11. They're for the right to be the 11.
Okay, but I mean, what I'm saying is they're named teams. They're not
that. Yeah. They punish small conference teams that win their title game just so they can get the ninth team from the ACC. And
yeah,
it's
but they punish the ninth team from the ACC also because they play in the play-in game.
Yeah, they should just not be in the tournament.
Right.
I don't need to see Notre Dame is 10th in the ACC tournament. If Notre Dame gets into the tournament as a play-in game,
they may.
Ridiculous.
Yeah, it's going to be right there on the border. I feel, I'm not going to get too much into the bracketology. Middle Tennessee was in the top 25. They lost.
I know.
In their first round game.
Lenardi had him in, though.
Yeah, they're 31 on the RPI, which is their the index of, top 25 poll. They're number 31, I guess, now.
I hate the playing games. If you win your league, you're supposed to be in the tournament, guaranteed going up against a big boy. And I don't care if you lose 127-50. You deserve to be there. I don't need to see Syracuse, who in under 500 in the ACC teams are going to get in.
I don't think you can get, I don't know how many under 500 conference teams actually get into.
We're talking
the
about Oregon State getting in at 19 and 4, or Oklahoma State at 19 and 14.
Unless you win the conference service. By the way, I just want to say this quick announcement. If we don't get a winner for Power Play, the new and exciting game sweep of the country today, we're never going to play the game again. Brady, I told you to dumb it down. You went worse than dumbed it down. I didn't even look at all the questions. I think I can get them all right. I mean,
there's
really,
two hard questions. The rest are easy.
And you know what? I'll even give you the three possible answers. Celtics, Bruins, or neither. Celtics, Bruins, or neither. I mean, it is I'll give you question four. This team plays on ice. Don't give the answer. Don't give the answer. This team plays on ice. That's question four. That's the tough question. That's the tough question. All right? If we don't get a winner for power play today, I'm never going to play the game again, because if we can't get a winner today, Brady, we'll never get a winner. We'll never get a winner if we can't get one today.
I had to make it. Look, I don't like when we get winners when we're on location, but it's okay to get winners once in a while we're in the studio. Because when we're on location, you say, I'll just give away everything good, and I can't monitor everything in the closet. Now I know what's in the prize closet.
Celtics, Bruins, or neither. John Havlicek played for this team. That's question six. I'm giving away all the questions.
Please don't do that.
Don't give that answer, though. Don't give the answer.
Please don't do that.
Don't give the answer. I want people to think about the John Havlicek one, because that's one of the tough ones out there. If we don't get a winner this time, shame on you. Great remote yesterday. Was that place was happening.
A lot of fun. It was so much fun that we stayed for like an hour after.
Did you stay afterwards?
Yeah, we just stayed for like an hour after and just hung
Chowing
out. It was
down
awesome.
And all that, huh?
Yeah, we were out at Idletime Brewing Company in Stowe. A lot of fun. Great pub food. That was a lot of fun.
Did you hear from Rich at all or no?
Rich actually tweeted yesterday.
I don't believe it. Somebody tweeted for him?
He tweeted a picture of Lake Tahoe.
Oh, so he made it up there.
He did make it up there
safely.
All
right, that's good. That's good, because I had no idea, you know, with the leaving and driving down to Boston and catching a flight to Denver and then catching a flight to Tahoe and getting in a car and driving to Los Angeles. I have no idea where he is right now.
Well, he made it to Tahoe. I got to assume he's not running on much sleep, but Rich doesn't need much sleep.
That was my last thing, man. I am tired today.
For what?
I just didn't get any sleep. My dog takes up the whole bed. I mean, literally, my dog Stanley, it like stretches out, like the bed's barely big enough for just Stanley, and he just sprawls out.
Do you have a queen, a double, a king?
I got a super big one.
So a king.
King.
So you're telling me that Stanley is so
big? Yes, yes. That's what I'm telling you.
That you, your wife, presuming she actually will sleep with you.
Yes, exactly.
You, your wife,
Stanley will still take up all the room. He just stretches out across the pillows, and I'm afraid to move him because I'm afraid he's going to bite me. So I got to, like, wake him up, or what I'll do is if it's, like, 11 o'clock at night and I know that he's just not moving, I'll go to the front door and ring the doorbell, and he'll jump off. No, I'm serious. I'm not kidding around.
You'll ring your own doorbell?
I'll ring my own doorbell so he could run toward the door, and then I'll get in the bed.
Oh, my goodness.
I know. Is that being afraid of the – I'm afraid – he's a love. I mean, he kisses everybody, but I'm afraid he's going to take a chunk of my face off.
Just – Look, be the alpha male, pick him up nicely, and just move him.
I make Beth move him. In case, if he's going to bite somebody, I'd rather him bite Beth.
Yeah, just have your wife get mangled. No problem. Yeah,
no problem there. At least I'll make it the next day in the work. What's coming up on the show? We got a lot going on today.
Yeah, housekeeping to take care of first. Really excited tomorrow. Remember announcing we are live Sports Saturday with Jeff Paul, Bernie Siplicki, and Aaron Wells. They will be at Patrick Gym for Fan Fest, 8:30 to 10:30, a special time from Patrick Gym. Then next week, we have our remote. We're going to be Thursday, Friday.
Yes.
We're going to be off the air. So Thursday, we're going to be watching the games all day long, noon to 9 p.m. at City Sports Grill in Colchester. And we've got a lot of specials that day, too, like 450 Sam Adams seasonal drafts. We've got 450 Sam 76 16-ounce cans.
Wow.
16-ounce cans. That's going to be fun. Friday, we're out at McGillicuddy's in Colchester from 4
we're
till
all over
6.
The place.
And I will have more information on this tomorrow on our social media channels, and we'll have a promo on air. We will have our 101.3 ESPN bracket challenge again this year. So I will have the link on social media for how to join. I will have instructions on a promo.
It took me and Rich like a day and a half to figure out how to get it.
But most of our listeners can figure it out very simply. last year we had more than 300 people. This year we want 500 people. We're going to have – here's the prizes. We're going to have – $101 in cash in honor of 101.3.
Nice.
We're also going to have a $200 gift card from our friends over at Yipes Automotive. And they've got, you know, the electronic car starters, all kinds of accessories for your car. So be on the lookout for that.
I think I want to call the game on TV tomorrow.
I know the guy doing it for ESPN, so I could get you in.
I think I want to do it. Is it too late for that?
I mean,
the game is tomorrow, so I got plenty of time.
Well, I asked you if you wanted a press credential.
I know, but I didn't want to go because I got so many games on TV, but now I feel like calling the game. I want to do the play-by-play.
You can sit at home, mute the TV, and you can call it yourself.
Would they let me do that if I called up ESPN? Who would I have to call to see if I can do the game tomorrow?
Well, Doug Sherman is the guy doing the game for ESPN2.
Why shouldn't you and I do the game on ESPN2? Why shouldn't they say, let the two local schlubs do it and have some fun because they know the team better than anybody else?
Because we've already got the game on our station. I don't don't really feel like competing against ourselves.
I know that, but at least it would be fun, though. People go, look at that. That was Brady and Arnie. Yeah, yeah. No, it'd be fun.
Look, there's Brady and Arnie, the two radio guys calling it for TV. Talk about conflict of interest.
So what, though? I mean, how much fun would that be? I mean, why don't they? I should be doing a lot more TV. I should be calling this game. I don't know why I didn't think about that. I guess it's just too late now.
You don't even have a press credential.
Yeah, I know that. 24 hours. Less than 24 hours before
less
the
than
game.
24
I want to call the damn game for crying out loud. By the way, did I tell you that once they wanted me to call the Knicks-Suns preseason game?
And you probably...
I said I can't do play-by-play.
You said I can't call the Knicks.
I can't do play-by-play, but I will do your studio pregame with the other guy and have a little fun there.
And did you do it?
Yeah, I did the pregame.
Did you have to wear a suit?
No, you know what? I just I wore like a Knicks...
You were in Phoenix and you wore Knicks clothes.
Oh, totally. I was wearing a Knicks, a sweat top. So... I had the. Let me tell you, it was just a preseason game, and the Knicks came back to win, and the whole stadium was chanting at me. I was afraid to leave the damn stadium. I'm not getting around. All right, what's coming up first? What are we going to get to first?
We'll get you ready for UVM and the America East title game. We'll talk with Steve Lapis at 5 o'clock.
Yeah,
he's a former
time.
College
Manhattan?
Basketball coach, Manhattan, UMass, Villanova. We'll also talk with Mark Plansky, who won a title at Villanova in 85. He's on the call on the color guy for ESPN2. He'll join us at 5. We'll do the 4-minute football fix at 4:35. Daily spring training update. Chris Sale makes his first start. Power play at 5:35.
And by the way, Yipes North, because there are three locations. So Yipes North is the one. Yipes North. But my wife is just getting on text, and she's screaming at me. And I know when my wife screams at me on text.
Yipes North.
North.
$200 gift card.
Exactly. So we got that in. You want to start with Richard Sherman? What's going on there?
Yeah, it's going to be... It's about to be official. The Seahawks have put out the press release. They are releasing Richard Sherman. Richard Sherman had this to say about it. He joined a guy that we've had on the station, G. Scott, from Cairo Radio in Seattle.
Right.
So this interview hasn't even aired yet, but here's part of the exclusive interview, G. Scott and Richard Sherman, with kind of where we're at now.
We've had conversation, and they've told me that they're going to allow me to go on a free agency, but they want me to understand that the door is open for me to return. You know, they're just trying to do what they need to do to clear up space and give me and them the best chance at free agency, and I gotta appreciate and respect that.
So that's where we're at. Sherman is going to be released. The Seahawks would like to bring him back. They want to bring him back at lower money. Sherman's acting as his own agent right now, so that's why he could talk so freely about this stuff. Now, it was speculation before about could he end up in New England with a trade. He's going to be released. Should the Patriots go and sign him?
No, they shouldn't, because he's still going to want a little more money than you're going to want for a guy that age and with coming off that injury. I just can't take the chance, unless you're going to get him at the bargain basement price.
And what is that price? $4 million for 1 year? I don't know.
How much is he making right now? How much is
his contract would be $11 million. If he had been traded, it would have been $11 million.
But
you're going
to
give him $6 million?
How much do they have to buy him out for? I mean, they just can't cut him and give him nothing, right? He does get like a buyout or no?
I mean,
I'm not sure. That depends on how much he's going to take.
Let's say
if he took like a $5 million buyout, then maybe he's going to work for...
Well, he's just getting cut from Seattle. He's going to be a cap hit on the Seahawks.
Right, so they don't have to give him anything? I don't know. I mean, sometimes they have to go ahead and pay you to, like, Gronkowski's getting a $2 million roster bonus, and that's kind of like saying, I'll take the $2 million before I go away. Anyway, just to get back on Sherman, let's just assume that he's not getting anything because he's gotten all the money in the world over the last couple of years.
What do you want to give him, $4 million, $7 million? What's
the number? I'm not giving him $7 million. What's Gilmore getting a year? What was Gilmore getting
a year? Like 12 or 13.
I'll give him half of that. I'll give him 5 because he's coming off an injury. I'll give him a 1 year, $5 million deal, and that's about it. I know he's not going to want to take that, but maybe I'll give a 2 year with an option on the team side. But I don't want this guy on the team. I really don't. I'm just going to take him because he's a good corner. I don't know about his injury coming off that. And I'll get him at the bargain basement price. Otherwise, I have no interest in him, Brady.
Look, since 2011, Richard Sherman is number one in the NFL in interceptions, passes defended, lowest completion percentage allowed, lowest passer rating allowed. He is the number one in lowest passer rating by a wide margin, in fact, over A.J. Boye. He is still a very good corner. He was a top 35 corner in the league last year at the time of his injury. Could the Patriots use him? Yes. Do I think they should go after him? The answer is yes. But it just feels to me...
Why wouldn't Seattle take him back for 1 year, $11 million?
Well, that's what they had him for. They had him at 1 year,
$11
million.
I know. Why not take him back for that if he is all that?
They are so strapped for cash that they can't afford the $11 million. Could they bring him back at 1 year, $6 million? Yes. Would he want to take that? I don't know.
Right.
But It just feels to me like if Richard Sherman signed with the Patriots, it would feel so anti-everything Richard Sherman has been in his career. Do I really think that Richard Sherman is going to go to a place where he mocked the quarterback in Tom Brady? I can't see him doing that. Can I see him, knowing that Richard Sherman is so close to his family? His brother Branton runs his foundation with him. He just has a newborn. Do I think that he's going to want to go 3,000 miles away? No, I don't, but that's only because I've watched him do every press conference he's done for the last 5 years, and it just doesn't feel like he's that kind of guy. Furthermore, I have to figure out what is the motivation at this point in Richard Sherman's career. He's already won a title. Does he want to be defined by titles? If so, then maybe New England is the spot. But does he want to be defined by the number of interceptions that he gets? He could go somewhere else and make a money grab where he's going to play every single snap as opposed to just being a, you know, more rotational player. Is he going to go where he just wants money? Is he going to go where he wants to? He could go to Seattle and be arguably one of the top three faces in franchise history. He could stay. I need to know what his motivation is, because right now New England doesn't make much sense for me.
I don't know what his motivation is, because like you said, he did win a Super Bowl. Part of me wants to say, and I don't know, this sounds crazy. I think the only reason he wants to stay in the NFL is so he could speak on social issues and social injustice.
Disagree with that.
I totally believe that. Disagree because I don't think that. What else would he would be in there
Richard,
for, unless it's for the money. This guy's a Stanford-educated person. He knows exactly what he's doing. He's very calculated. He's not a dummy, by no means.
Right. So since
I really believe that's his future. You may think I'm crazy. I think that's his future.
Richard Sherman is smart. He's, as you said, Stanford-educated. He doesn't need the NFL to get his opinions out there.
No, but I think it does give him a platform.
How many places would hire Richard Sherman as a talk show host if he wanted to? How many places would put Richard Sherman on TV? Richard Sherman could go into politics and spread the same message. Richard Sherman could do all kinds of things.
Yeah, but he won't make that type of money also by spreading that message. And plus, I think you get a bigger platform when you're a player. Then if you're just saying it as a talk show, then all of a sudden you're just like, hot sports take now. You know what I mean?
Peanut Tillman's in the FBI now.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's true. I mean, absolutely. Absolutely.
So I don't think Richard Sherman needs the NFL to have a voice. I don't see that at all.
You know what? I disagree. I think he loves being outspoken. I think he loves being in front of the cameras. I think he loves all that.
Maybe so, but I don't think he needs the NFL to be able to do that.
You know what? I think he gets the biggest shock value from being a player saying that. If I say that, he's just another talk show host running at the lip, running at the mouth, and it really means nothing. What's that? Like, if Peyton Manning came out and said stuff, we wouldn't be all that crazy. But if he came out and said it as a player, like if he said, you know, I didn't think Tom Brady was really the best. We wouldn't, you know, we'd talk about it. But if he said that as a player, they were about to play next week, I don't think Tom Brady's really the best. We would be losing our marbles over something like that, Brady.
Everything that I've known about Sherman since he came into the league, it just doesn't feel like it's going to jive in New England. I could see him going to Atlanta more so. Now, his requirements for, you know, when Tom Pelissero of the NFL Network texted him and said, what are you looking for in your next team? He said, team with a great quarterback,
right.
A team where I'm a great fit. So that... Right there, great. Well, great quarterback knocks you down to probably six or seven teams right off the bat. You're only looking at six or seven.
Well, he could have went to the Rams. I'm sure the Rams were considering him, considering they traded for Peters and they went ahead and get the Aqib Talib. So.
Maybe Atlanta. He already played with head coach Dan Quinn in Seattle.
Right.
His defense, Dan Quinn's defense, helped make Sherman so successful. Maybe in Atlanta. But here's the other thing too, on the motivation factor of what's Sherman's motivation. Does Sherman want to be the face and voice of a team? Because he's not going to be that in New England.
No.
If he wants to be the face and voice of a team, he's not that in New England. I think there's other places that fit what Richard Sherman has been for his entire career better than New England. New England should kick the tires on this because he's that good when healthy. And also, because of Richard Sherman's ego, is he going to go to a place where he's half the highest paid defensive back? I don't know that he wants to be making half Stephon Gilmore's
money. What would
happen
if Belichick did to him what he did to Malcolm Butler? Could you imagine?
I don't think I think we would have. Richard Sherman's a better player than Stephon Gilmore. Richard Sherman's a Hall of Famer. Stephon Gilmore's not. But
could you imagine if he pulled those shenanigans in a Super Bowl? Oh, there would have been fisticuffs. There would have been fisticuffs, Brady. All right, we're off and running. First segment in. Real quick, Aaron in Burlington said, for your information, UVM played Villanova. Their championship year in basketball. So did we know that? Did I know that? Didn't we?
We knew that. And trust me, we're going to talk about it with Steve Lapis, who was at Villanova, who was a assistant coach at Villanova. We'll talk about it with Mark Plansky, who was on that team.
Cody in St. Albans, what about the Raiders? Good quarterback. Bay Area. Possibility there? No, not.
Well, he went to Stanford, right? So the Bay Area could make some sense, but I'm still
quarterback,
not.
Quarterback, Raiders, you know.
Now, Marshawn Lynch and him are buddies. I could see that happen. I don't see it happening for the most part. I think he's got a slight chance to go back to Seattle. I really don't think it will happen, but I think there's a chance of it. I think there's a chance in New England. I think he fits in Atlanta. And I have heard the Chargers possibly. He's from Southern California. The Chargers have a great quarterback in Phillip Rivers and some young pieces on offense. They could be heading in the right direction also.
All right, what do we got coming up next?
Steve Lapus is going to join us, former head coach at Villanova, UMass, and Manhattan. He's coached in Patrick Gym before. We'll get his take on March Madness and much more.
That's next right here on 101.3 ESPN.
Everyone is listening to The Huddle. It's almost like we've got a quarter of a billion listeners per month. All right. This is The Huddle with Rich Hardy and Brady on 101.3 ESPN.
Welcome back here in The Huddle right here on 101.3 ESPN and 101.3ESPN.com. What an exciting weekend we're about to have here in sports, because UVM America East Conference title game tomorrow morning against UMBC. Then hopefully after a win, we'll find out where they're playing on the always popular Selection Sunday as we look forward to the NCAA tournament. Let's go out now to the TikTok Jewelers guest line and find ourselves Steve Lapus. He's a former college basketball head coach. He was the head coach at UMass. He was head coach at Villanova, also at Manhattan College, and now is a college basketball broadcaster. Steve, thank you for being with us. How are you?
I'm doing great. In Las Vegas for the Mountain West tournament.
Well, that's always fun. Hey, if you're not going to be in Burlington for the America East, you might as well just do Vegas, huh?
Hey, no doubt. I'll tell you what, Burlington is a great town. I've been there many, many times. I love that place. Boy, that's a great place. And how about the job John Becker has done? Unbelievable.
Well, we're excited about it. The game tomorrow against UMBC, looking for a second straight trip to the NCAA tournament. And, Steve, a lot of people, if UVM is fortunate enough to win tomorrow, a lot of people have UVM being a team that could make some noise in round one.
No doubt about it. I mean, very experienced team, you know, that has had obviously two tremendous years in a row. And when you have that kind of experience and those veterans, and they're not going to be intimidated by being on that stage, I definitely think Vermont's a possibility to do some damage.
Well, Steve, let me ask you this, too, because Anthony Lamb is the best player for UVM, arguably, but he was hurt most of the year. He's come back and played three games now since fracturing his foot at the end of December, and he hasn't quite looked the same. How much do you try to balance getting him into the flow tomorrow versus forcing him into the flow?
Well, you know, that's a delicate balance, and only John Becker knows exactly how he needs to do that. But I think getting Anthony Lamb back into the flow is a huge thing, because he's the best player on the team, and that also speaks to what kind of a year they had without him, basically. So I think you've got to ease him back, but you're going to need him, especially now. But here's the problem. You've got to win that game tomorrow. There's no doubt about it. Yet, you want to think about next week. So I think you've got to do what you've got to do to win the game, but you got to get this kid back into the flow, because I think he's critical if there's going to be some damage done next week especially.
We talk about the work that John Becker has done here, looking to get to the tournament again with the Catamounts now. He's had an unbelievable run here in Burlington. You were a coach at a mid-major program at Manhattan, also UMass to a degree. How hard is it to recruit to a mid-major school, and then just how pivotal is that recruiting for you?
Well, you know, first of all, in the second, and to answer your second question, recruiting is pivotal. I mean, you ask anybody out there, and I see all these games now and all these coaches around the country. There are very, very few bad coaches. Trust me. These are guys that all know what they're doing. They're at the top of their profession. They understand their craft. So what's going to be the difference? The difference is going to be recruiting, and not just recruiting good players, but recruiting players that fit into what you want to do. That's the key to recruiting. It's not about getting the best guys you can get. It's about getting guys that fit in and do what you want done well. So that is obviously the critical thing. Now, in terms of how hard is it at that level, I think it's all relative. Obviously, if you're recruiting at the highest level, like at a Villanova and those kind of places, you got to try and get some of the best players in the country. I think in a place like Vermont and a place like Manhattan where I was, there were many, many more guys under the radar where you could use your own eye and your own gut to make decisions on. So I think there's a lot more players that could play for Vermont and Manhattan. You still got to know what you're doing and what you want to get out of a player.
maybe I'm naive, but the recruiting scandal, in quotes, that has rocked college basketball that we've learned about this year, I feel like that doesn't penetrate down to the mid-major levels, I feel like, at all. But I'll just ask you this, as someone who's recruited all levels, how different is the recruiting game between the big-time schools and the mid-majors?
It's definitely different, let's say that. But that doesn't mean that there aren't people at the mid-major level that are doing little things to get an extra edge and get something done. So don't think for a minute that no one in the mid-major is trying to cut corners and do some things they shouldn't be doing. That is absolutely happening there also. But the difference is the pool of players that can help Vermont win, help Manhattan win, is a much, much bigger pool than the pool at the highest level. So there's no doubt that the highest level right now has by far much more dirt, because the kids that are playing at the highest level are potential NBA players, and that's why these agents are getting involved. The agents, for the most part, are not going to get involved at the mid-major level, because those kids, for the most part, that doesn't mean everybody, there certainly have been many mid-major players who've been NBA players. But the agent thing is not going to become a big factor at the mid-major level, because there aren't as many pros.
Steve Lapis, former head basketball coach, Villanova, Manhattan, UMass, and now a college basketball analyst on radio as well. And he's here with us in the huddle on 101.3 ESPN and 101.3ESPN.com. First off, I forgot to tell you this right off the top. When you were the head coach at UMass, one of your best players that you coached was a kid by the name of Rayshon Freeman from Albany, New York. And I know Rayshon because I am also from Albany, New York, so I had to tell you that, Coach.
Oh, I'm glad you did. Great kid. He had a tremendous career. Unfortunately, we got kind of cut short after his sophomore year was when they let me go. And we had him and Stefan Lazmi, who ended up being in the NBA, two kids up front that were really, really good. They were only sophomores. So he was a great kid and a tremendous player. He's played in Europe for a long time.
Another thing I had to ask you, so you coached at Villanova. You were the head coach who replaced Rolly Massimino. You also were on his staff as an assistant prior to becoming the head coach. And we're going to have one of your former players on, Mark Plansky, in about a half hour from now to talk about this.
You guys are really slumming if you're going to put Plansky on. Yeah, my goodness.
He's on the call for ESPN TV tomorrow, so he's going to come on in like a half hour. But Rolly Massimino is a UVM grad, so you got to have some stories of Rolly Massimino.
Yes, well, I got plenty of stories. As a matter of fact, I got a great story. With the year we won the championship, we played UVM because Roldy went there, and it was the 1,000th win in Villanova history. And I got a great picture right on the court there, which I guess is now called the Tom Brennan Court.
Yes.
As well as it should be. I have a great picture on the Tom Brennan Court, which it wasn't called then, of our team picture holding the numbers 1,000 because it was the 1,000th victory in the history of Villanova. So I've been up there many times, and, Rolly Massimino stories, there's too many to count, that's for sure.
This is something that I have railed against for a long time, the potential idea of taking away the you have to sit out a year if you transfer. I've thought for a long time that that would crush a mid-major, because a great mid-major player is a freshman, then gets recruited up the chain, and those mid-major programs lose their best player, and I've hated it. But then someone brought it to my attention, well, what about the kid who's at Villanova, who's not playing, who wants to transfer down to a Vermont? So maybe it helps the mid-major. Am I making way too much of this potential rule change?
No, I think it's more what you said on the first count. I think it's going to hurt mid-majors much more than it's going to help them. And let's understand this. You look at Cincinnati, their starting point guard, Kane Brewer, plays at Sacred Heart. You look a couple of years ago, the best player at Georgetown, I forget his name now, but it'll come to me, was the best player, Robert Morris. If you are a mid-major coach and you recruit a kid that becomes the rookie of the year, whether it's in the MAC or the America East or whatever, that's a good chance that kid's going to leave you. And unfortunately, because every kid, I always tell people, they say, what's the most important thing in recruiting? I say, there's two things that kids look for when they're getting recruited. One is playing time, and two is highest level. And every kid who plays at Vermont and plays at Manhattan or plays at wherever thinks he should be playing at Villanova, Kansas, North Carolina, every one of them.
Yep.
So if one of those kids has a great year as a freshman and has the opportunity to move to that level, he's going to do it. And so I tell my son, who's an assistant coach at Fairleigh Dickinson, I say, listen, it doesn't pay for you to recruit the rookie of the year in the league. Just recruit some good players that can't move after their freshman year.
John Becker is likely, I presume, going to have a number of overtures at the end of the season because he's just a good coach with a good track record. And there's going to be some openings here at the end of the year, as there always are. As someone who is elevated from mid-major to high-major program, what is it that you look for in a program before you move up and leave a good situation?
Ability to win, you know, how good a job. That's what you look for first. Like, in other words, people think, yeah, obviously money becomes a factor, but none of us, not John Becker, not Steve Lapis, not Bill Self, none of us got into this business to make money. Now, yes, in the end, if you're really successful, the money will come, no doubt. But we all got in this business to do one thing, that's coach and win at the highest level. That's what drives every coach in America. So the bottom line is, if you're going to take a job, if John Becker's going to leave what is the best job in his league, and that's very important to keep in mind, he has the best job in his league right now. He needs to go somewhere that at least he may not get the best job in the league that he's going to go to, but it's got to be a good job with the ability to win. That's what matters more than anything else.
Steve Lapis, former head basketball coach, Villanova, Manhattan, UMass, now a broadcaster. And again, we'll miss you in Burlington tomorrow, but Vegas might as well be the next best thing. So, Steve, enjoy the Mountain West final, and we'll talk to you again later on.
Hey, and do me one favor. Make sure you tell Plansky I said that you're wasting your time talking to him. Please tell him that.
We will tell him that half hour from now. Steve, we appreciate it.
All right, thank you.
I love hearing from him. Of course, former coach at Villanova, Manhattan, and UMass. Was big time in the college coaching ranks, no doubt about that.
Love the story about Rolly Massimino.
Yeah,
how about that? The 1,000th.
Who used to coach at Cleveland State, too, by the way.
1,000th career win for Rolly was right here at Patrick Gym. Pretty cool.
That is awesome. I love to hear stories like that. And, Jake in St. Albans says, hey, guys, don't jinx it. Got to win tomorrow first. So, very excited about that. And, I thought it wasn't going to be. I thought it was going to be Stony Brook. I didn't plan for what is it? UMBC, Maryland, Baltimore County.
Yeah,
is that how you say it?
Yes.
I should know how to say it since we are playing them tomorrow. So there you got. Steve,
what do you think the spread on that game is?
I could find it for you.
I'm just saying. What do you think that it is?
I would say Vermont is probably going to be an 8 to 9 point favorite.
11.5.
Okay, I was close. I was going to say 10, but I went down a couple points because they were a 10 point favorite over their last game. So I thought they were. Going to drop it down a little bit. So what, 11.5?
11.5.
Wow.
So basically they're saying Vermont is a blowout.
What was it last year against Albany? It was, closer. It was like a 5 or 6.
I don't know. That was definitely a more equal game on paper.
Yeah, there's no doubt about that. All right, we're off and running. What do we got coming up next, Brady?
4-minute football fix. We'll talk about Aqib Talib to the Rams and breaking news involving your Dolphins.
I was looking up to see what they got also, so we'll pass that along. That's coming up next right here on 101.3 ESPN.
Studies show that listening to 101.3 ESPN makes you more productive, and we'll prove it when we get around to it. This is The Huddle on 101.3 ESPN.
All right, good afternoon, everybody. You are in The Huddle right here on 101.3 ESPN. It's a Friday. We made it to a Friday, and it is March. The snow's going to melt. We're finally going to get some good weather. We got a couple more weeks of snow, right?
Daylight savings is tomorrow.
Yeah, I like that. I when we move the clocks ahead.
Look, I like when we move the clocks ahead, but I hate the day that we do it. The bar closes at 1 instead of 2 because it goes from 1 until 3, and then we lose an hour.
I always fight with my boss on when we have to move the clocks back that they should have to pay me an extra hour.
Are the bars going to stay open till 3 now?
No, they don't do that.
Yeah, so they're missing out on an hour's worth of business.
Just get started early. That's all. Just get yourself started a little bit early.
It is Mardi Gras downtown tomorrow.
Yes, I know. My son was telling me. So tomorrow, I thought it was tonight.
Well, it might be tonight also, but tomorrow, your son can't go. He's not 21.
No, he's not 21, so I'm going to make sure he doesn't go. I'll ruin that time for him. All right, let's get to the 4-minute football fix.
I miss football. You miss football. We all miss football. So let's talk some football. Training camp may be a ways away, but we'll help you through the wait. This is your 4-minute football fix on The Huddle, 101.3 ESPN.
Ah, there you go.
Which one do you want to start with, Jarvis Landry?
Let's start with Jarvis Landry.
He got traded to the Browns. I thought he was going to get traded to the Chicago Bears for Howard, the running back, because that was the initial rumor. He's getting traded to the Browns for two draft picks. I doubt it's number four overall in the first round. So that'd be great. I don't know where it's going to be. It hasn't been announced yet. I'm looking on Twitter, but all I know is they got two draft picks. I have no idea where it would be. Fourth round, fifth round? I don't know.
I mean, he's got a franchise tag that was over $15 million. The Browns are reportedly on the verge of signing him to a long-term deal. He led the league in receptions last year with 112. And by the way, the Browns have never had a wide receiver with 100 catches in a season. So this represents an upgrade for them. I want to know what they gave up.
Josh Gordon and a new quarterback, too.
Josh Gordon, Jarvis Landry, you put that together, you've got some decent wideouts there at 1-2.
Decent defense.
Terrell Pryor is a free agent again. Could you bring him back? Look, the Browns have pieces on offense now, and they have pieces on defense. It's all about what's the quarterback going to do. As far as the Dolphins go, I want to know where the picks are because, well, you could say that Landry was a bit of a problem in the locker room. He's worth more than a fifth and seventh to me. Is he, you know, if you got a third and a fifth, then I would say worth it. If you got a fifth and seventh, I would say not.
Unless you're going to take like a third and fifth, package it with your first. Next thing you know, you're looking at the number four pick overall or something like that. Depends on, remember now, you're deep at running back, so maybe those picks are going to be valuable. And, you know, maybe a lot of teams need wide receivers also. So I'm not sure, you know, who's going to want those picks.
I'd like to see the Browns be good. I have a soft spot for them. I know what it's like to be not even a lovable loser, just a loser in general, been a Mariners fan. I mean, I remember the pain that my dad went through when I was 6 years old. I remember the pain that he went through when the Browns left Cleveland and became the Ravens.
Yeah.
And I so bad would like them to be a winner for him. Like, I was so bad like them to be watchable so he could get reinvested in them. Like, I want that for them. They have a lot of interesting things going on there. You've got a new GM and Jimmy, a new GM there in John Dorsey. You've got a new offensive coordinator in Todd Haley. You've got a boatload of draft picks. You've got
Todd
some
Haley.
Young players on defense like Jabril Peppers. You've got a good defensive front. This team has some pieces. The Bengals are fading in the AFC North. The Steelers, they're going to still be good, but as Big Ben continues to age, you got to wonder what's happening next for them as well. And I'm not a believer in Joe Flacco anymore. So I think there's room to elevate in the AFC North.
All right. I want to get to the Rams. They're making plenty of moves. Of course, they get Marcus Peters. That was the first one they made, 2 weeks ago or whatever it was.
Yeah.
Now they make another move.
They go and get Aqib Talib yesterday from the Denver Broncos, also for draft picks. And look, you got to love what the Rams are doing. The Rams are going for it. And we talk about windows in the NFL being finite. And even as you are young and exciting and you're building and you think you're trending upwards, you're an injury away from it all going downhill. The Rams are capitalizing on what they think is their window opening up. And this is the perfect time to capitalize. The Seahawks are fading in the NFC West. The Cardinals are a total rebuild. And you've got Jimmy Garoppolo, who's going to make the 49ers – you know, a contender in the division next year.
I'm picking them to win the Super Bowl.
Okay, well, they're not going to do that.
Well,
so,
I don't know.
They're a contender in the division, but I don't think they're ready to jump over the Rams yet. But now you've gotten two all-pro caliber defensive backs to go up against Jimmy Garoppolo and Russell Wilson, and I love that the Rams are taking advantage of it.
Look, when we were talking about the Patriots getting Talib, I'm against it because he's a cancer in the locker room, but I don't care to give a damn about the Rams. They're probably going to get a good player. He's still going to be a cancer. I promise you he's going to get a suspension or he'll get into a fight on the field. I promise you that's going to happen, Brady.
Well, look, he's reunited with Wade Phillips, who was his coordinator.
At Denver.
Coordinator in Denver. He liked him. Part of the reason, remember,
I love Wade.
Talib was balking at some of the places he could have been traded to. He balked at San Francisco. He wanted to be in New England or in Los Angeles with Wade Phillips. That's what precipitated this deal happening. I love it for the Rams. I'm only surprised, though, a little bit of what the Rams are doing. The Rams were 13th in the league last year against the pass. So they were not elite, but they were not at the bottom of the league. They were 13th against the pass. They were 6th in interceptions. This is a team that already was decent in the secondary, and now they've traded away Robert Quinn from a strong defensive front. They've traded Alec Ogletree from their linebacker
That's
core.
That's the money.
Yeah, so they've weakened their front seven to strengthen a back four that was already I will say above average. So I'm surprised at least that they've taken away from their strength to add to what wasn't truly a weakness.
Look, I'm not a guy that says let's overhaul everything, but I see that the teams that want to go further are not going to do it through the draft. They want to do it with players that are available now. The Patriots do that. The teams that are really in trouble, like Seattle, they've got to rebuild through the draft. That's what's going to happen there. Cleveland says, the hell with it. I want players now.
Well, look, you're supposed to you're supposed to build through the draft and get a young nucleus. And you can't convince me of that otherwise. Look at what Seattle did. Look at what Jacksonville did. Okay, these teams that are young and on the rise, when they got that way through the draft. If you look at Jacksonville, Blake Bortles, Jalen Ramsey, Miles Jack, Leonard Fournette, they were all through the draft, and then you use free agency and trades to accentuate that, and you get a Malik Jackson and A.J. Boye, and then that helps. Seattle, build it through Russell Wilson, and build it through Earl Thomas, and Richard Sherman, and Cam Chancellor. They were all draft picks,
too. Yeah, but they did that because the quarterback wasn't making any money.
Okay, and that's what's happening in Los Angeles. Jared Goff's not making money now either.
You're right about that, but in due time, you're going to break up the team when he does get the money, but that's 4 years, 3 years. From now.
So the Rams are looking at this the same way the Eagles are. We're trying to capitalize on a window where our quarterback isn't making a lot of money, and we're going to try to win a Super Bowl in that time. And yeah, we are going to have to restructure some things in 3 years. But if we've got a title, that becomes a lot easier.
I'll give you some other rumors. Zesty Patriots. What did I say? Who are they looking at as backup for Brady? Teddy Bridgewater.
Does Teddy Bridgewater want to be a backup?
Teddy Bridgewater wants anything. Like, first of all, he's not walking into any camp as the starter. I promise you that, right? The
guy couldn't start in Cleveland?
He's not walking any place as the starter. He hasn't played in 2 years. The guy hasn't taken a meaningful snap in 2 years. He's not going to be the starter.
Nick Foles hadn't taken many meaningful snaps and just won the Super Bowl.
He was thrown into that, though. And he wasn't coming off a major injury like Teddy Bridgewater was. So that was one of the – and also some of the Dolphins were looking at Teddy Bridgewater also. So I don't know. Maybe everybody's seeing something that we don't know with his health. I have no idea why.
Well, he was cleared to play last year. Remember, he was on the active –
He took a snap. I know he took one snap.
Yeah, but I mean, he was on the active roster. Right. Yes, so he was eligible, healthy enough to at least play.
Right. No, you're right about that. You want to get to the Celtics real quick? Was they clinch a playoff berth?
Yeah, we can get to that real quick.
Well, they clinched a playoff berth.
Yes, they clinched a playoff berth yesterday.
Well, I know you wanted to talk about Brown, but not till later on, right, on that?
We can talk about it real quick.
That was horrible.
We got 2 minutes before break.
That was horrible.
Horrible.
First of all, I thought he landed on his neck. You know, at full speed, I thought he landed on his neck. Can I tell you what Facebook did? They showed the replay, and then they showed it in slow motion. But in slow motion, they cut it, and they wouldn't show the fall. And I thought maybe the video was not streaming or something.
Yeah.
But the words were coming across. You could hear everything they were saying normally. They just didn't want you to see it again in slow motion.
I'm amazed that that doesn't happen more often. And we're lucky that it doesn't. But when you talk about guys running full steam at the rim and then holding onto the rim, you're amazed that with all the sweat on their hands and the sweat on the rim – that it you don't slip more often.
I'm surprised they don't get low-bridged more.
That too?
Yeah.
So, that's terrible. Thankfully, Jaylen Brown is okay. No concussion, no neck problem.
I'm shocked that he's okay.
He says that he's just got a headache and how lucky he is, how lucky the Celtics are. They do win last night. Kyrie Irving, 23 points. I was impressed by Al Horford as well.
Did you see everybody's reaction to in the stands, on the sideline? People like, oh my, like they thought he was really, really seriously injured.
Yeah, you don't – you. You're amazed
at how
he
was. It should have been a concussion, at least. I didn't think he landed on the back of his head. I kept thinking he landed on his neck. What's everybody getting on? Well, that's still pretty bad, you know, but you don't want to land anything when you're coming down like that. That's for sure.
Adam Schefter reporting that none of the Dolphins picks that they're going to get for Landry are a first or a second. So it's going to
be figured that.
Between 3 and 7.
All right. What do we got coming up on the Champlain Valley game night, by the way?
Well, we're going to talk with Kevin Lee. He's broadcasting the America East title game tomorrow for Westwood One. So we'll talk about his thoughts on coming to Burlington.
All right. What do we got as we finish off hour number one?
A radio host got a special call today from a player's mom who they'd been bad-mouthing.
What? Mrs. Henson called me? No?
What stories do you have like that, Arnie? We'll get into that.
All right, that's coming up next right here on 101.3 ESPN.
The Catamount to try to...
The local sports talk show. Nothing else comes close. Come to think of it, there isn't anything else. The Huddle, 101.3 ESPN.
All right, good afternoon, everybody. You're in the huddle right here at 101.3 ESPN. Before we finish off hour number one, the show is just cruising on by. Brady, what's going on with Muhammad Wilkerson? I heard this story. This was funny.
So Muhammad Wilkerson's mother was listening to WFAN in New York, and Manish Mehta of the New York Daily News was on there talking bad about her son, and she called in to have it out with him on the air.
I've been on the air in Dallas when Derek Williams' mom called me and was upset over stuff I was saying about her son, and we had her on for like an hour. It was just the best.
So did she end up being your friend by the end of it?
Oh, of course. She can't pass up on this charm. What are you serious? I've had Boomer Esiason call me, but wouldn't tell me who it was on the. We had him on for 45 minutes, but he wouldn't tell us who he was. He was just like, he's like, if you can guess who I am.
Were you talking bad about him though?
We were talking bad about the Jets, I think it was, and he was playing for the Jets at the time. So. He's like, I play in the NFL. I go, and he said his name was Norm, and which is his name. It's not Boomer. It's Norman. So, but I couldn't figure it out. I go, what are you, like a third-string punter? I was just busting his chops, busting his hump. And I've had several, many, many athletes call me up on their fake names, and you know, because I've done like post-game shows, and they get all offended about stuff like that. So I've had that happen to me. It's kind of fun. You know?
Who have you gotten the most controversial with on the air? Doesn't have to be an athlete. Just who have you gotten into
probably
it with?
Probably Jesse Jackson.
The governor?
Well, no. The activist.
Oh, the activist. What am I thinking?
Yeah, he's
I was thinking Jesse Ventura.
Jesse Jackson. When, we were going back and forth, and he was getting a little chippy with me. I said, you know, Jesse, you're the one. And I said, you called Jewish people Haimi Town, and you never apologized for that. And we just went back and forth, and we were battling each other. That was pretty fun. And then I've had... a guy yell at me saying, the guy that does the play-by-play for the Sacramento Kings, Grant Napier, you know him?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
He called my station and started yelling like a stuck pig because I gave out the phone number to his show and told everybody in L.A. to bombard him with phone calls because the Lakers were playing the Kings.
Wow, what
playoffs.
A jerk.
Was that
what
a jerk?
Jerk. Yeah, that was a jerk.
Well, you know what, though? He's just always popping off, but we're buddies now anyway.
Should we just create a rivalry with other stations?
There's not enough stations here to create a rivalry.
Like some station in New Hampshire, should we just start having a rivalry?
I mean, if we're going to do smack talk, you leave that up to me. nobody's better than smack talk than I am.
We just challenge them to a basketball game.
Yeah, or, you know, I played basketball with the other sports stations when I was in Phoenix.
We were talking about this.
Yeah.
I want to have a media basketball tournament where you and I play 2-on-2 against a 2-on-2 team from Channel 5 NBC and Channel 3 WCAX and 2244. I want to do a media sports tournament.
I would do that.
Yeah. You would win the 2-on-2.
Yeah, absolutely. I would do that in a heartbeat. I don't think we'd get enough people to play, but I would do it in a heartbeat.
Are you saying the other stations aren't athletic?
Yes, that's exactly okay. What I'm saying. Hour one in the books. Brady's going to have a ESPN Sports Center update. Then we'll come back, set you ready for hour number two, and we'll get you ready for who, Brady?
Mark Plansky will join us. He's calling the game on color for ESPN2. He won a national title at Villanova.
All right. All that's coming up next right here on 101.3 ESPN.
Only full-time FM sports station in Vermont, WCPV, Essex, Burlington, Plattsburgh, 101.3 ESPN.
It was a happy sale day again for Red Sox Nation today. Chris Sale made his spring training debut, 5 strikeouts in just 4 innings. He did allow a run, 58 pitches, 41 of which were strikes. Jaylen Brown, Celtics forward, is okay after a scary fall he took yesterday. He tweeted out that he appreciates the support. No concussion, no neck injury, just a headache. If you missed the fall and you want to see it, you can look at your own risk on 1013ESPN.com. Richard Sherman officially released from the Seattle Seahawks. Could he be one step closer to joining the Patriots? Tom Pelissero of the NFL Network says Sherman told him that the requirements that Sherman has for his next team is he wants to be with a great fit, somewhere he'll be comfortable, and somewhere with a great quarterback. The America East title game is tomorrow morning at Patrick Gym. 11 a.m. is the tip-off. 10:30, the pregame show right here on 101.3 ESPN with Sam Hyman. And Sports Saturday with Jeff Paul, Bernie Siplicki, and Aaron Wells live from FanFest at Patrick Gym. A special time tomorrow, 8:30 to 10:30. We kick off hour number two next, and we'll talk with Mark Plansky, national champion, winner at Villanova 1985, and he's on the call tomorrow for ESPN2 as the color analyst. All that coming up in hour two of the Huddle, 101.3 ESPN.
Golic and Wingo when you drive in, and the Huddle when you drive home.
And you can always be part of the show by calling or texting at 802-655-6672. This is The Huddle on 101.3 ESPN.
All right, good afternoon, everybody. You are in the huddle right here, 101.3 ESPN. Remember, coming up at the bottom of the hour, actually at about 40 past the hour, we got Power Play, the new and exciting game, sweep of the country. We dumbed it down. I know we say that every time. If we don't get a winner for Power Play today, I'm never going to play Power Play again. Celtics, Bruins, or neither. Celtics, Bruins, or neither. And, geez, it is so easy.
Paul Pierce played for this team.
Don't give away all the answers.
That's question nine.
That's question nine. And that's the tough one. Don't do that. So we had to do it just because we wanted to get a winner. I couldn't do it anymore. I had to go ahead and get a winner. I can't just play Power Play and have no winners ever, ever, ever. So Power Play, the new and exciting game, sweeping the country. We dumped it down to probably, this is perhaps the easiest Power Play in the history of Power Plays, Brady. It doesn't get any easier than that.
By the way, I have to thank your wife for something.
Yes.
Her and I were talking today. We're talking about new things that we'll give away this summer. You know, we could bumper stickers, T-shirts, all that. Your wife, you know those things there, the like the sticky case protectors that go on the back of your phone?
I see that you have that there.
Yeah, they like hold business cards and stuff like that. They go on the back of your phone. They're adhesive. We're just going to try to get 101.3 ESPN ones of those.
Oh, very cool. I like that. Look at you all professional and stuff like that.
So to give away at all of our remotes and stuff. So that's what we're working on.
I like that. So I may have to get myself one of those. All right, we got lots going on. What do we got coming up next?
Just a reminder, Sports Saturday tomorrow, live at Patrick Gym, Fan Fest, 8:30 to 10:30. We will have our 101.3 ESPN Bracket Challenge. We'll tell you how to join that. I'll have a link for you on social media. We'll have a promo. All that we'll find out in various ways. We'll have a $200 gift card to Yipes North, various car accessories, and $101 in cash for the winner there. And we've got watch parties next week for the tournament. Thursday all day at City Sports Grill, thanks to our friends at Sam Adams. Now, Arnie, time to go out to the TikTok Jewelers guest line, and we find ourselves Mark Plansky. He's the color broadcaster for UVM and UMBC tomorrow in the America East Championship game. He played for Villanova and for Rolly Massimino in the 1985 magical season for the Wildcats, in which they were the 8th seed and won the national championship. So Mark Plansky, he's on the line with us now right here on 101.3 ESPN. Mark, thanks for being with us. How are you?
Hey, thanks for having me, guys.
Well, I appreciate you joining us. And let's ask this first. You played for Rolly Massimino, who's a UVM grad and sadly just passed away. What are your memories of playing for Rolly?
Well, let me tell you this. 1984-85, the year we won, our very first game was right here, right at campus of the University of Vermont. It was the school's 1,000th victory, and they inducted Coach Massimino into UVM Hall of Fame. So we had a little dinner the night before the game. And my very first college game was right here. I had like 8 points and 6 rebounds. I was very excited. Then we came back my senior year as well because, of course, Coach Tommy Brennan was assistant coach for Coach Mass, so they were really good friends. So we came back and we played here in 88. So, yeah, very, very comfortable with Patrick Gymnasium.
You mentioned Coach Brennan. Have you gotten to see Coach Brennan out on the media circuit since you left college? Because he's been everywhere media-wise over the last decade or so.
You beat me to it. How can you not see him on the circuit? Yeah. But, you know, TB is the best, isn't he? I mean, there isn't a better personality in basketball than Coach Brennan.
What mid-major environments have impressed you the most in your time as a broadcaster? Because Patrick Gym, I feel like it's an unknown gem by a lot of people. It's pretty special up here. What other places have you seen mid-major-wise that are special?
Yeah, that's a great question. I did a couple Atlantic 10 games this year, and you know what is really impressive? VCU. The arena down there on campus at Virginia Commonwealth is as crazy as it gets. You know, it's, I think, Cameron Indoor might shrink it down to about 4,800 people. And, you know, the excitement of mid-majors is whether it is a sold-out craziness like the VCU and like the Patrick Gymnasium day tomorrow, or if there's 2,000 people in the stands. What I really like about mid-majors, and tomorrow's game is going to put it all on display, is the four-year seniors. You know, the play of the seniors and the guard play in the mid-majors, you know, in the America East and in other conferences is fun to watch, especially as a former player.
Now, you mentioned the four-year seniors. One of those for UVM is Trey Bell Haynes, reigning player of the year 2 times in the America East. For UMBC, the guy to watch is Jairus Lyles, a guy who may be the best pure scorer in the conference. You took in UMBC's practice earlier today. How does Lyles look? Because that's the guy that Catamount fans need to focus on.
Yeah, I think Lyles is probably the best scorer, might be the best player that UNBC's history of the program. You know, what he does really well is with the ball, he can break anyone down one-on-one. I mean, you're talking about a kid that scored 30 against Arizona, you know, playing against Trier, who had 30. You know, so he can score. He's an NBA quality guard. He can really, you know, make shots and get his own shot. But the other thing he loves to do, you know, talking to him here at practice, he wants to guard. In fact, I wouldn't be surprised if he is on Bell Haynes today because he wants to guard the opposing team's best player. He takes great pride in showing the coaches after the game, look at the numbers. I held my guy to 10 and I scored 28. That's plus 18. I did my job. I mean, that type of attitude, again, speaks to, you know, he's a graduate senior. It speaks to a great maturity. And he's a really good story, too. You know, in his last year eligibility, when you're in the mid-majors like UVM and like UNBC, you know, you just take it for granted that a kid that's going to graduate is going to go and play at a higher level school if you're as good as Darius Lyles. He had Kansas and he had Texas with Charcus Smart and Georgetown asked him to play. And, you know, he decided for all the right reasons, the coaches, staff, the teammates, the community, that he's going to come back and be a big fish in a medium-sized pond. And I think he's really, really happy with that decision.
Mark Plansky, he's on color tomorrow for ESPN2 for the America East title game between UVM and UMBC. Tip-off is 11 o'clock. He played his college ball at Villanova and won a title back in 1985. Mark, I'm going to have you put your coaching hat on. Anthony Lamb is kind of the wild card right now for UVM. He's the reigning rookie of the year in the America East, and he could have been the player of the year if he had been healthy. He's played just a handful of games since coming back from a broken foot. How much do you rely on him and try to get him going tomorrow?
Wow, you know, great question, because I was watching tapes getting prepared for this game and, you know, his performance against Kentucky and Northeastern and the Bonnies. You know, I did say Bonaventure a couple times this year. You know, I mean, that was just an unbelievable game-winning shot by Mobley to steal a victory well-deserved by the Catamounts, and Lamb just dominated those games. And, you know, when you fracture your foot, you come back from a high ankle sprain or a fractured foot, it's very hard to get the rhythm back because there's no way of really keeping your aerobic conditioning up while you're up. You know, you can ride the bike or do a pool work as much as you want, but as far as the pounding on the court, it's hard to get that back. So that's a great question because, you know, the team has done really well without him, to no fault of Lamb's own. You know, he sat on the bench and watched his team win a lot of games. So, you know, let's put it this way. I think it's a very nice problem for Coach Becker to have. How about that?
You're right. It is a great problem to have for Coach Becker and his staff. And it's just, again, such a wild card because we don't know if it's the Anthony Lamb who gets 15 points in 18 minutes or it's the guy who gets 6 points in 18 minutes because he's just trying to get that rhythm.
Yeah, but he is a gamer. Well said. So I think in a game like this, when it's when you're in, you know, I think he's going to reach down and, you know, try to absolutely overcome that recovery of the fractured foot. But, you know, you guys have a lot of great players. I mean, what makes your team so well, and I'm really excited to watch them live, is the discipline on the defensive side, which leads to great offense. You know, unselfish offense. I mean, I'm going through looking at this. The way you guys put down threes, the way you guys share the basketball, it is very hard to be a Catamount team when you're clicking, and a clicking starts when you're on defense. And I'm looking forward to watching Coach Becker and his team really clamp down on the Retrievers on the defensive side.
Mark, as excited as we are about UVM and their success that they've had over the last 2 years, but really going back a decade, 15 years or so, how much credit does head coach Ryan Odom deserve for UMBC? This team won 7 games 2 years ago, and here they are now, a 23-win team in a league final.
So much credit. 4 games 3 years ago, 7 2 years ago, and we were talking to the coaching staff during the shoot-around, and you know, they'd won their first game last season in December. They played Maryland Eastern Shore, and they came in, and there was food in the locker room right after the game. You know, the kids were jumping up and down like they had just won an NCAA tournament game, and Coach Odom was still doing the media, so he hadn't come in yet, and the assistant coaches grabbed the players and say, "Hey, guys, take it easy. Act like you've won before." And the senior on the team said, "Coach, we haven't." And so he came in, and think about that culture, right? He had to turn that around, and, you know, I'm privileged to know his dad, Dave. Dave recruited me. Coach Odom recruited me when he was at Virginia, and he is just one of the absolute classiest guys ever in the industry. And at watching Ryan coach today and shoot around, the apple hasn't even fallen off the tree. So he has got to be one of the, you know, younger, you know, higher, you know, upside coaches that there is. Ran a great shoot around, runs a good program. Kids love him. He loves the kids. You know, it's everything you want to see when you're watching a great team and a great coach.
I feel like it's cliche because I feel like it's what I say the key to every game is for UVM. First 4 or 5 minutes of the game are going to dictate how the game goes. If UVM gets up, you know, out to a 16-4 lead, I could see that experience just overwhelming a team that hasn't been there before. But if this game stays, you know, 18-18 for a while, and then at halftime, you know, it's a 2-4-point game, you know, it's anybody's guess. How important is the first 5 minutes for Vermont to kind of establish their will?
Well, you did. The first 4 minutes, you know, of each half are instrumental in all basketball games. But in a game like this, when everything is on the line, that is when the nerves, you know, will show themselves. So if you knock down shots to open up a game, there's nothing better to relieve the pressure, obviously, than if you're missing shots, because you're already nervous. You already understand, you know, how big of a game this is. And so if you miss shots, your tendency is to get a little more nervous and a little more gun-shy. You knock down your first shot, which is why we often tell kids, and, you know, when I played, you know, your first shot has to be at the paint in a game like this. You can't come down and lock your three. You got to come down and get to the foul line, get dirty, get a contact, make a layup, and then go out and shoot threes. Because, you know, look at what Hartford did. You know, the only loss that Vermont has, they made enough shots, to your point, to just stick around. And, you know, they had a chance to win at the end, and they did. So that's clearly going to be UMBC's strategy tomorrow morning.
Mark Plansky for ESPN2 is calling the game for television, UVM and UMBC America East Southern game. Mark, we'll get you out of here on this. It just feels like there's going to be a lot of coaching jobs open at the end of the year, whether it's as a trickle-down effect from the FBI probe, whether it's just general changeover in coaching. John Becker is going to continue to have suitors. It's pretty clear when this season ends. How desirable a candidate is he for a bigger school?
I'm sorry to say this to your faithful, but very, very desirable.
Yeah.
I mean, I mentioned some of the variables in the success formula for coaching. When you look at it, not from the locker room, but from the court, it's defense first. It's aggressive defense that leads to the offense and the unselfish style of play. And that is exactly how Vermont wins. So if you're a kid, you want to come and play in the American East for Vermont because of the great run. I mean, your senior class of what, 100 wins, right?
Yeah.
I mean, just ridiculous how great that is. And so if you can build it here and you can build it on, you know, there's been great years of history going back to Tommy Brennan at Vermont, but you know, you take a look at what he has done in the last 4 years. He's had good talent, but, you know, Anthony Lamb goes down and he continues to win. So that's just an absolute laser that coach must know what he's doing and has a good way of next man up. So you can take that. That is a model that you can bring to any program, and the better players you get, the better success you have. So, yeah, I would say that John Beck is going to have a few opportunities, because I totally agree with your philosophy about after this year. I think the merry-go-round is going to have a lot of empty horses on it that will get filled quickly right after the Final Four.
Mark Plansky, ESPN2 broadcaster tomorrow. He's on color for the television call of the America East title game between UVM and UMBC. Mark, we appreciate the time. Enjoy the game. Enjoy Patrick, Jim, and Will rooting for a Catamounts win.
Thank you so much, my friend. Go Catamounts. See y'all tomorrow.
I love that. Hey, I was just wondering, and not that I want Coach Becker to leave, but if he does leave, you ever think he can get a top-tier job? And what I mean by a top-tier job is something in maybe like the top five conferences or
yes,
or something like that. Because I know UTEP, that's not a great opening, but they used to be one-time powerhouse. That whole community goes there. I know they're looking for a coach. I wonder if he can get one of those big-time jobs out there.
Well, if you're talking about a power conference job, yes, I think it's possible. Steve Peichel at Stony Brook went from Stony Brook to Rutgers.
The guy from Florida Gulf Coast to USC.
Yeah, so I think it's possible. Do I think that's the jump you want to make? I don't know. I don't know. And we'll find out more as once UVM season's end, you know, once it ends, about what his motivations are. I think he likes it here. I think he's spearheaded for this new arena. I don't know that you do that and ruffle the kind of feathers it takes to try to get that done if you plan on leaving. And it doesn't mean that I'm naive and think he'll stay forever, but I don't know that he's got one foot out the door.
What do we know about this UMBC team? We beat them, what, twice during the course of the year?
Beat them twice pretty handily both times. Dominated them here at Patrick Gym, dominated them down there as they
opened. That's what you always worry about when you dominated a team twice, you know?
See, look, we're going to do our predictions in Last Story Standing. Hint, hint, I've got UVM winning this game pretty easily. And the reason...
I got UVM winning, but I don't think about it pretty easily.
23 points I've got him winning.
Wow!
By. And I think that's because, like we said with Albany, Albany was a guard-driven team. Okay, Joe Cremo and David Nichols are two very good scoring guards. And I said all along, if Albany's going to beat UVM, they need both of those guards to go off. They need, you know, 23 and 21 for them. It can't be one of them gets 20, the other one gets 9. UMBC is wired the same way. They are guard-focused. And with how good Trabell Haynes is defensively and how hungry he is to get back to the NCAA tournament, I don't see him allowing one of those guards to go off. Maybe one of the two goes for 24, but whichever one he's on is not going for the 24 that the other one needs.
9 a.m. start, who does that benefit? The home
11
team?
11 a.m.
Excuse me, 9 a.m. The 11 a.m. start benefits the home team, I'm
benefits
assuming?
It benefits the team that's been there before and played at that time slot, and that is
which
UVM.
Is UVM. But I just always, the home team, even if it was two teams that were not in the conference or tournament finals last year, just because having the home team and having to travel and get up early, and I mean, what time do you have to get up for an 11 a.m. game to have breakfast?
7:30? Seven?
Earlier than that, yeah, 7 o'clock. You want to get up early. You don't want to get up too early. But, you know, you got to go through breakfast and shoot around and stuff like that. So there's a lot to adjust on that. Looking forward to it. It's going to be a fun game tomorrow, so I'm definitely excited about that. And, if or when they do win tomorrow, I was more confident that they were going to win a game in the NCAA tournament last year than I am this year because of the injury to Anthony Lamb. That's kind of bothering
it's
me.
It's the biggest question tomorrow is John Becker willing to do something that is potentially uncomfortable? If Anthony Lamb is struggling tomorrow, do you sit him on the bench for as much of the second half as you can?
Oh, yeah.
You got to take care of tomorrow first.
Absolutely. You got to worry about winning. That's the first thing on the clock. What do we got coming up next?
Spring training update. Chris Sale makes his spring debut, and, well, he picks off where first half of last season Chris Sale left off.
All right, and then we got Power Play after that, the new and exciting game sweep of the country. So don't forget about that also. We dumbed it down to major proportions. All that coming up right here on 101.3 ESPN.
The Red Sox and Yankees have World Series dreams. But before they can head north, they're working on the backfields in the Florida heat. This is your daily spring training update on The Huddle on 101.3 ESPN.
Let's go! All right, good afternoon, everybody. You're in The Huddle right here at 101.3 ESPN. We're about 15 minutes away from Power Play, the new and exciting game, sweep of the country. You better get ready for that. We dumbed it down. I already told you, Celtics, Bruins, or neither. Celtics, Bruins, or neither. This team plays on a basketball court. That's question six. So.
No, you already gave away question six. That was question three.
Damn! I'm going to have to make that. Is that too hard? Should we make that one easier?
Oh, stop. Don't insult our listeners like that.
You're right. That is too hard. Let's make that one easier. So Power Play, the new and exciting game sweep of the country. That's coming up at about 35 to 40 past the hour.
You got any big weekend plans, Arnie?
No. I'm just going to go ahead and watch all the college basketball. I could swill on down. I'm working Saturday and Sunday, just 2 hours on Saturday and 3 hours on Sunday. So I'm just going to kick it and just kind of relax and maybe go to Mardi Gras tomorrow, though.
Get all liquored up before the national show.
Get all liquored up before the national show.
We're going to a movie tonight.
Oh, what are you going to go see?
Well, our new sales guy and his girlfriend, Jess and I, we're all going to
double dating.
We're all going to see Game Night with Rachel McAdams and Jason Bateman.
Yeah, I like Rachel McAdams.
I really want.
I do like Jason Bateman.
We really wanted to see the new one with Bruce Willis, where he's kind of like the vigilante, kind of like Batman.
Okay.
But that one was playing too late, and I got to be up in here tomorrow at 7:30 head over to UVM.
Maybe some of the listeners want to go with you. What theater are you going at?
I'm not telling that.
Well, but why not?
Wow.
Why not?
Wow.
All right. Oh, you didn't invite us? You didn't invite me? We didn't triple date on this? Okay. I don't like going on my wife either. So.
I am sad, though. I'm going to miss the Duke-UNC game as a result of
it. You are going to miss that. That's tonight.
I love watching Marcus Bagley play.
I'm going to watch the Arizona-UCLA game at 9 o'clock. So I'm excited about that. That one's going
to
be on tonight.
You couldn't pay me enough to watch that game. You get it? You get it?
Oh,
wow. Just kidding.
Let's get to the spring training update. And the spring training update.
Chris Sale made his major.
Wait, I think you're going to start with Red Sox closer Koji Uehara, former Red Sox closer.
Okay, he's going back to Japan.
For $1.87 million. I didn't know he was 42 years old.
Yes.
I thought he was younger than that. I thought it was like 38, 39. Nope. Why did 42 is old.
Oh. I like Koji Uehara. I would have taken him on the Mariners.
I was going to say, I would have taken him for 1 year, $1 million or something like that. Yeah. I don't understand what the problem was here.
Chris Sale made his spring debut today. 4 innings, 5 strikeouts. He did allow 1 run, but man, Sale looked good, Arnie.
Yeah, but what does that really mean? You know, it's spring training. You didn't want to overwork him. He hasn't really pitched in spring training, so they were going to wait till the last couple of weeks. Is this going to get him ready for the start of the season? I guess he looks like he's ready for the start of the season, so anything to keep him healthy and make sure he doesn't wear down at the end. That's all I care about. I don't care that he had such a great outing. It doesn't make a difference.
The only thing I care about really is the process, not so much the result. He threw 58 pitches today. He threw 58 pitches in four innings. That's pretty good when you talk about pitches per inning, which is, you know, about 15 pitches per inning. That's the goal that you want to be at. So you're effective with your pitch count. And 58 pitches, 41 strikes, that is better. That's 2.5-to-1 strike to ball ratio. That is a number that pitching coaches salivate at.
I disagree with you about, what did you say, 15 per inning?
Yeah.
I don't think those numbers mean anything anymore, considering pitchers are only going to be five innings and out. So I think you could go a little bit.
No, it's not that. Yeah. It's pitch count. They're not going to be necessarily five innings and out.
Right.
They're going to be 100 pitches and out.
Okay, I could see
so
that.
So if you can be 15 pitches per inning and you can stick to that, well, 15 times, I mean, you could throw 9-inning complete games at that rate almost.
Yeah, but nobody's going that. They're getting yanked now in the fifth inning. Bullpens are more important than ever now when it comes to
baseball.
I mean,
let's see. 15 times 4 is 60.
75
So
inning.
75
pitches.
Would be... Five innings. So that'd get you at least 6 innings.
Yeah,
90 pitches would be 6 innings.
You know, the only reason I bring that up is I think pitchers now don't have to give in. They know that they're only going to get five, maybe 6 innings at most. So they know they could have to throw the extra pitch or two and work around the plate. They don't have to groove one down the middle because, you know, they're getting up there in pitch count, but they're going to get yanked anyway.
Yeah, but look, I love a guy who's efficient with his pitch count. Sale was 2.5-to-1 strike to ball ratio, as I said. Pitching coaches salivate over that. And for a manager that is not a pitching guy like Alex Cora, it's a nice luxury to have knowing that you can just let this guy go out there and pitch. And I like the way that the Red Sox have approached handling Sale. He threw a 52-pitch kind of simulated game
right
before this outing, and I like that. And Sale said he liked that because he was limited to 12 pitches per inning in that. And he said that helped him continue to be effective with his pitch count and be efficient because he knew he had to just pound the strike zone just to hit those numbers. I like what Sale's done.
Don't make too much of it. Any news on my Mets? I'm getting excited about my
They're
Mets.
They're all injured.
I know. They were injured last year.
Ahmed Rosario's injured. Jacob DeGrom is injured.
By the way, I wanted to ask you one thing. Are you going to watch, for the millennials out there, are you going to watch baseball on Facebook? Did you hear about that?
I'm not.
Facebook is, well, in case you didn't know, Facebook is now going to air one baseball game a week starting April 4th. How much did that cost them? A boatload of money, I'm sure. And what is the, what does it do for them, really? I mean, you're not big enough. More people going to get Facebook because of baseball? I don't understand.
They're going to do a game of the week. Most of them are going to be on Wednesdays, if I read it correctly.
But what does it do for them, though? You know,
it's going to connect there. It's going to. I don't know what it does for Facebook, but is it baseball? Is Facebook paying baseball? So Facebook.
Facebook. I got to assume. Yeah, to get that. Like when the football went on.
It was on Twitter and Yahoo.
Right,
and all
Yahoo.
That.
When it was on
so,
Yahoo. Yeah.
Look, it's great for baseball because it gets their product in the hands of a younger demographic. But let's remember this too: some of the younger demographic isn't using Facebook all that much.
Right. That's for the old. That's for people,
you know,
like me. Is
like,
Facebook.
We've got intern Logan in here, and intern Logan is 18 years old.
Snapchat.
Do you have Facebook, intern Logan? He says no. Intern Logan's going to get his first airtime. Do you have Facebook?
I mean, it's there. The account's been made, but the last time I was on it had to be a couple years ago. I don't use it very often.
You probably do what? Snapchat?
Instagram,
that's what they all do. Maybe they're trying to save themselves by getting this.
You wouldn't watch baseball. Like, you're not going to use your Facebook just because baseball's on it.
No, I don't think it's big enough for people to want to use Facebook just for baseball. One game a week, I mean, there's 3 games a night.
Why am I watching it on my phone on Facebook instead of watching it on my television?
You could watch it on your computer. You can hook your computer up. You don't have to watch it on your phone. You can hook the computer up.
On my computer, then. I mean, baseball, just about every big game is on TV somewhere, somehow.
Yeah, well, but not always your team, you know? Like, look, I'm not going to use it because I have the MLB package. I paid for the MLB package.
Right.
I have that. But if I was an out-of-market fan wanting to watch my team, I would watch them wherever I got an opportunity.
Yeah, but you would think
watch.
That if it's the big game of the week.
But
or,
no, we're not. You're thinking about big game. I'm thinking about in terms of my team.
Oh, because you said it was the game of the week. Or
it's going to be a. They're going to do it
a game of the week.
Okay,
so it's not like the Yankees, Red Sox. I'm like, it's going to be on TV somewhere anyway.
If the Mariners were playing on it, and I didn't have ability to watch the Mariners because of where I was, I would tune in.
Right. Just go ahead and see it on that. So, by the way, how many days left until we get to some damn baseball?
20.
That's still too long. Are you been subtracting one day every day now, or you skipped a few days?
We're at 20.
We were 20 like 2 weeks ago.
Nope.
Yeah, we were.
Nope.
I swear we
were. I heard
you were
going to lead your national show with baseball tomorrow.
No, I don't think that's going to happen.
I heard that.
I don't think so.
Your producer called me and told me.
You know, people don't even want us to talk baseball when baseball season's going on. I'm serious.
That's false.
When baseball's going on, it's always about the NFL. At first, it's going to be about the NFL draft. Then it's going to be about the NFL training camps.
You're wrong on
that. Yeah.
There is a dead period of the NFL calendar between the NFL draft and training camp. Most people don't care about
NBA,
OTAs.
That's hockey and NBA playoffs, though, you know?
We're still going to talk baseball.
Yeah, well, you know, it'd be better, it'd behoove baseball. That's why if they could just figure out how to go ahead and steal some of that NBA playoff stuff and NHL playoffs. Because it kills them until they get to, what, July? And then it's baseball. July, and then we'll give you a little bit of August, but then it's right back to the NFL and college football.
Speaking of baseball, did you see the new Lake Monsters hats that
they're coming out with? Yes, I saw that. What is it called? The alternative hat?
The alternate hat. So it's the 25th anniversary of the organization being in Vermont, from the Expos to the Lake Monsters. If you didn't see it, you can go to our website, 1013ESPN.com, also on our social media channels. We've got a picture of it. The alternate hat is going to be it's a navy blue hat with the state of Vermont.
Yes.
And champ inside the state of Vermont. It's very cool. I'm going to be getting one.
Oh, you're going to run right out and get one?
Absolutely.
Huh? Now, it's just the baseball hat. It doesn't have it like on the knit cap or anything like that, or does it?
I'm sure you could get a snow hat.
But yeah.
Look, we're transitioning out of snow hat season.
I always wear a snow hat.
Whatever. I got you a nice Arizona snow hat.
I wore it the other day to our game, did I not?
I didn't see it.
I did. I wore it.
You always wear the 101.3 ESPN one.
That's getting a little haggity. I'm going to have to give that away. I'm just going to have to give that, throw that one away. But yeah, I wore it to our basketball game, the one that you guys didn't play me in the second half.
The one that you willingly sat out.
It was too close. It was just way too close out there. So that's some of the stuff. Did you want to get to the Patriots real quick?
No, we don't have time.
Wow. What did you want to touch on about that?
Well, did you see Ricky Jean-Francois?
No.
He's the defensive tackle who played with the Patriots at the end of last year and actually played pretty well and played especially well in the playoffs. Well, he wrote a Instagram post saying that he is not going to return to the Patriots. He wants to go to another place. And I just – look, you can take what you want, whatever, who cares about Ricky Jean-Francois, but the message is that here's a guy who's never won a Super Bowl who doesn't want to play for the Patriots. So now you've got Deion Lewis who wants to leave. You've got Ricky Jean-Francois who wants to leave, and we're starting to wonder, is this just normal attrition of a roster and normal turnover, or is this because the Patriots organization in some way is becoming exposed? It's just an interesting question.
All right. Can I just give you one story out of left field that just...
You just asked me what I want to talk about the Patriots, and now you're going to tell me something totally different.
No, because this is just coming down, and I always find this stuff crazy. You know who Bruce Pearl is, the head coach at Auburn basketball?
Yes.
He got into an... I'll just tell you the way it is, into a verbal altercation with Alabama's strength and conditioning coach. They were, if you're going to like this, ready? Pearl said that the guy from Alabama was in my path. I had to negotiate around him. I think he may have clipped me, and then he said something to me. And then, of course, I should have walked away. He didn't. And then they had a full verbal altercation because Pearl felt that he was clipped by the Alabama strength and conditioning coach.
I wish you hadn't asked me to talk about the Patriots then, just to change the subject.
Wow! But I always love physical altercations before I do with the Patriots. All right, you know what's coming up next, don't you, people? You know what's coming up next? Power Play, the new and exciting game sweeping the country. Brady, we dumbed it down, did we not?
We did. We should get a winner within six calls.
No! First one right off the bat! What are you kidding me? First one right off the bat! Celtics, Bruins, or neither. Celtics, Bruins, or neither. And people, I know it sounds easy. It's easier than it sounds, for crying out loud. That's coming up next right here on 101.3 ESPN.
Arnie injured himself playing basketball. Ouch! Again. How is it that he never sprains his mouth? This is The Huddle on 101.3 ESPN.
All right, it is time for Power Play, the new and exciting game sweeping the country. Let me tell you how we play the game. We ask you a question. You get that question wrong, you'll hear this. And we move on. If you come on there and go, wait a minute, you guys are going too fast. We don't care. You'll still hear this. And we move on. If you come on there and go, wait a minute, you guys butchered question four. you guys got it wrong. You're probably right. We still don't care. You'll hear this. And we move on. If you get a question right, we'll ask you another. If you get all 10 questions right, what do they win, Brady?
Fabulous prizes.
Yeah, we must have fabulous prizes.
We do. Because we haven't gotten a winner in forever.
We haven't gotten a winner. So, like, all the prizes we've been stocking up for the last 6 months that you guys haven't won, we have all that stuff. So, you know, because you guys have made this way too hard. So we had to dumb it down. Let me give you the three possible answers. Celtics, Bruins, or neither. Celtics, Bruins, or neither. So if I said to you, this John Havlicek played for this team, you would say?
That would be Celtics.
Oh, you've never got a question wrong.
Not once ever.
It's absolutely amazing. If I told you this team plays on ice, you would say?
You've gotten a lot of resistance to that one.
I know that, but I don't understand why.
It is the Bruins, but remember they had the court on top. You know, they've got the multi. They change out the surface.
I know that, but I just said played on ice.
So that would be the Bruins.
Okay, thank you very much. Thank you very much. If I said this team won the championship last year, you would say?
Neither.
Because they didn't win the championship.
Neither one of them did, no.
Neither one of them did. So that's how easy it is. Celtics, Bruins, or neither. Celtics, Bruins, or neither do not make it any tougher than it's got to be. We dumbed it down to major proportions. So, without further ado, it is time for Power Play. We should get a winner right off the bat.
We should get a winner fairly quickly.
And that's Ryan in Milton. Ryan, are you ready for Power Play?
There you go, Ryan.
What are the three answers, Ryan?
Celtics, Bruins, or neither?
You know, we dumbed down the questions. You should get all of them right. You know that, don't you?
Oh, I know it.
Oh, well, we have a winner. We have a winner already, Brady. We should have even asked him the questions. Confidence level very low for some reason with Ryan. Here we go. Is the older franchise?
Celtics.
Wow.
Okay.
Wow.
We're off and running.
No. You can't even get the first one right, people, please. And it's not even a tough question. We're making it easy.
Yep.
That opens up a line, 802-655-6672. Ben in Shelburne. Ben, are you ready for Power Play?
Yes, sir.
What are the three answers, Ben?
Celtics, Bruins, neither.
All right, confidence.
I like Ben. I think he's
middle,
good.
Somewhere in the middle. Is the older franchise?
Bruins.
You got that one right.
Yes.
President of the team is named Rich Gotham.
Neither.
Usually don't guess neither. That was a good guess,
What
though.
Is going on?
That's a hard one. There's about two hard ones.
But we're doing Bruins, Celtics, or neither. I mean, you should know the coaches,
right,
the presidents.
He guessed neither.
Well, that was wrong.
Well, he still knew the answers.
That opens it. So what? The wrong answers. 802-655-6672. 655-6672. Who's next up, Brady?
Brian.
Brian. In wherever.
I don't know.
Brian, are you ready for Power Play?
I'm ready. From Shelburne.
From Shelburne. What are the three answers, Brian?
Celtics, Bruins, or neither.
Oh, confidence level through the roof. Through the roof with him. I think we're going to get a winner, people.
I think he'll get to three.
No, I think he's going to get them all. Is the older franchise?
Bruins.
President of the team is named Rich Gotham.
It's got to be neither.
We just said that.
We just said neither.
As you always say, if somebody gets it wrong, you don't come on and instantly say the exact same thing they did.
I don't think I want to play this game ever again. I mean, you can't even get the second question right, and the person before you got that wrong. And we're not even asking tough questions, and we gave you the Celtics, Bruins, or neither? Seriously, there's something wrong with you people.
I was going to do UVM and UMBC or neither, but I decided that was too many letters.
That way would have been too hard for them. I wouldn't even gotten one of the answers. They wouldn't know the answers. Way too many initials there. All right, 802-655-6672. Who's next up, Brady?
Tom in We Don't Know Where.
Tom in We Don't Know Where. Tom, are you ready for Power Play?
Next up, Brady. Tom in We Don't Know.
Oh, he's got the 7.
Tom, you
got
to turn your radio off.
Turn your
off.
Radio down, Tom.
Yes.
Yeah. Tom, where are you calling from, Tom? He's still listening on the phone.
Well, we can't take you, Tom.
I can't do that. Hang up on him.
Turn your radio off if you're
going
to
hang up on everybody. Hang up on everybody. Do we have anybody left on
yes,
the line?
Yes, we do.
Who's left on the line?
Matt in Grand Isle.
Matt in Grand Isle. Matt, are you ready for Power Play?
Matt.
Oh, you hung up on him, too.
I didn't hang up on him.
Hang up. Look, the intern hung up on him.
Nah, the intern didn't either.
Yeah, but I'm going to blame him anyway.
Don't do that.
Why not, though?
Because it's usually the intern's fault, but that time it wasn't.
I know that, but we got to blame somebody. 802-655-6672.
Now, we think we might have Matt in Grand Isle.
Do me a favor. Don't call in if you're not going to at least get five right. All right? Can you do that for me?
Matt in Grand Isle, are you there?
Matt, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
All right, Matt, okay. What are the three answers, Matt?
Celtics, Bruins, or neither.
I thought he was going to say Patriots.
But you know what? Confidence level, very high for him.
All right.
Okay, here we go. Is the older franchise?
Bruins.
He had to struggle
with
that.
Yes, he had already gotten that one. That.
President of the team is named Rich Gotham.
Bruins.
Okay, the game's over. No, game's over. This is ridiculous.
It's Championship Friday.
It's ridiculous.
I wanted to be happy today.
It's horrible. Really, you guys make the easiest game horrible. This game's supposed to be easier than checkers.
We once did true-false and didn't get a winner.
No, that's right. Maybe we're going to have to go back to true-false.
Dave in Essex.
We're going to have to go back to true-false. Dave, are you ready for power play?
Yes.
I doubt it. Dave, what are the three answers?
Celtics, Bruins, or neither.
All right, confidence level again high.
Yes, that's a defiant Dave, so
I know.
He knows.
Here we go. Is the older franchise?
Bruins.
What are the chances of him getting question two right? I don't know. Anymore.
100%.
President of the team is named Rich Gotham.
Celtics.
Hey!
Oh, my goodness.
We have a winner.
I'm so shocked I didn't even know to read the next question. Has more retired jersey numbers?
Celtics.
Play all of their games on 101.3 ESPN.
Bruins.
We gotcha. We gotcha.
Yep, gotcha.
That opens up a line, 802-655-6672. And that question, everybody should know the answer
yes,
to.
Yes, everybody should.
Shame, shame, shame on you.
We've got Josh in Burlington.
Josh in Burlington. Josh, are you ready for power play?
I am.
What are the three answers, Josh? Speak up.
We got Bruins, Celtics, or neither.
Yeah, confidence level not high.
He said Bruins
first.
Yeah, he
mixed it
up. I like
when
they say Celtics first.
Is the older franchise?
Bruins.
President of the team is named Rich Gotham.
We got Celtics.
Oh, my goodness.
He really had the struggle.
He's phoning a friend.
Has more retired jersey numbers.
Celtics.
Play all of their games on 101.3 ESPN.
Neither.
Hey!
Yeah! I'm shocked that he got that right because it's on 960. Has more divisional titles.
Celtics.
Wow! At least he got number four right. I got to give him credit for that.
Yeah, no partial credit, though.
802-655-6672. 802-655-6672. 6672. We have somebody else, Brady.
Matt in Milton.
Matt in Milton. Matt, are you ready for power play? Matt's not ready for power play.
Mm-mm.
That opens up another line at 802-655-6672 if you want to go and get on in. When I looked at the questions, Brady, it did not seem that hard, to be honest with you.
Well, I tell you what. Our intern is a diehard Celtic fan. No, we're going to let him play after.
Have you seen it? Have you looked at the questions? No.
So we got Jeff in Williston.
All right, Jeff in Williston. Jeff, are you ready for power play?
Yes, I am.
What are the three answers, Jeff?
Celtics, Bruins, neither.
He's got a good voice. He could fill in for one of us when we're out.
Yeah. President of the team is named Rich Gotham.
Celtics.
Oh, I mixed it up there a little bit. Is the older franchise?
Bruins.
Has more retired jersey numbers?
Celtics.
Play all of their games on 101.3 ESPN.
Neither.
Has more divisional titles.
Bruins.
Has won exactly 8 league championships.
Neither.
Wow! Look at that! Team has had the number one pick more times.
Celtics.
Oh! I can't believe you got that one, though.
I know, you got the neither.
That's always the hardest one, the neither there. All right, do we have another one on the line?
Derek in Plattsburgh.
Derek in Plattsburgh. Derek, are you ready for power play?
I am ready.
You pretty much know all the answers now, don't you, big boy?
I should be.
What are the three answers?
Celtics, Bruins, neither.
All right, confidence level through the roof. Is the older franchise?
Bruins.
Is a president of the team is named Rich Gotham.
Celtics.
Has more retired jersey numbers.
Celtics.
Play all their games on 101.3 ESPN.
Neither.
Has more divisional titles.
Bruins.
Has won exactly 8 league championships.
Neither.
Team has had the number one pick more times.
Bruins.
All-time leader in franchise games played. More. Let me read that one again. The all-time leader in franchise games played had more games. Does that even sound right?
No, it does not.
Read that one, Brady.
Okay. The all-time leader, the franchise's all-time leader in games played.
Yes.
Which franchise did the all-time games leader play more games?
Bruins.
Hey, that was a guess, but he got it right.
Yes.
He got it right. Had a player named Thorpe Weber in their history.
Bruins.
No. Why would you think Thorpe Weber?
I don't know. I just felt like.
Do we got to give the answers now? We're done.
We got one more. Do you want to take one more?
Yeah, let's take one more.
Alex in Winooski.
Alex in Winooski. Alex, are you ready for power play?
Oh, yeah, you got it.
All right. What are the three answers, Alex?
Celtics, Bruins, and neither.
Has more divisional titles.
Bruins.
Play all their games on 101.3 ESPN.
Either.
Has more retired jerseys.
Bruins.
Oh, you mix it up and he just fell apart.
All right, you want to give the answers?
Yeah, wait, but the intern to do it? Intern Logan? Or
intern Logan, you want to come play?
Get over here, Intern Logan. Let me ask you the questions. See if Intern Logan can do this.
All right.
All right, is the older franchise?
Bruins.
We got to use the microphone.
Use the microphone. I know it's first day in radio. Yeah. Has more retired jersey numbers.
Celtics.
President of the team is named Rich Gotham.
Celtics.
Played all their games on 101.3 ESPN.
Neither.
Has more divisional titles.
Bruins.
Has won exactly 8 league championships.
Neither.
Wow, he's finishing before you are.
Team has had the number one pick more times.
Bruins.
Brady, what's question 8?
Which franchise is all-time games played leader has played more games?
Ray Bourque, Bruins.
Wow. Had a player named Thorpe Weber on it. Where?
Got it wrong. He said neither.
No, Celtics. It's Celtics. And since 2000 has beaten Toronto in a playoff series, that would be the Bruins. So that's the answer for Power Play. The new and exciting game sweeping the country. We'll come back with our predictions. That's next right here on 101.3 ESPN.
It's time for one last piece of news gone untouched throughout the show. Wacky or insightful? It's time for Last Story Standing on the Huddle on 101.3 ESPN.
All right, I like Shane in Burlington's text. You guys keep this up. You're going to have to start calling it penalty kill.
Because we never get a
power
win.
Play. No, we don't get it. We're going to have to go back to 50-50 answers. Just to forget about the neithers. That just throws people off. Even though they did pretty good on the neithers this time around, we're going to have to go back to 50-50. All right, predictions for the games. I always think that, and this is what happened in the last game for Vermont. They always start off, teams start off slow when it comes to tournament action time, whether it's NCAA tournament or tournaments in their own conference. I think they get a little bit of nerves. You know, they're a little bit more, likely to go ahead and, you know, run the clock down a little bit before just chucking up a shot. I think it's going to be a little bit of a low-scoring game. I have it 67-57 with Vermont winning by 10, pulling away late. 67-57, only a 10-point victory for Vermont as they go back to the NCAA tournament.
I totally disagree.
Wow.
I've got UVM winning this game handedly, and I've got them scoring a lot of points. I am going 84-61.
Wow, look at you.
I think UVM wins this game by 23. I have said, you know, UVM's MO has been start slow, finish fast for the last couple of weeks here. I think this game they're going to start fast, and with UMBC's inexperience in big games, I don't think that they're going to be able to withstand that initial blitz.
Real quick, set the table for tomorrow once again. What we're doing?
8:30 to 10:30 Sports Saturday live at FanFest special time. Come on and hang out if you're going to the game. We'll be on the turf adjacent to Patrick Gym, right inside the Patrick Gym hallway, not inside the gym
lobby.
Itself, but right to the right. Hang out with us. Jeff and Bernie, they got a great guest list on site. Doug Sherman from ESPN is going to join them. Taylor Coppenrath, UVM legend. Amy Huchthausen of the America East, the commissioner, who hopefully will be handing John Becker another trophy.
All right. For intern Logan, for Brady, I'm Arnie. Champlain Valley Game Night coming up next right here on 101.3 ESPN.